Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Packer Transplants. I am Aaron Nagler, and with me, as always, is Mr. Corey Banky, my partner here at Cheesehead TV. Directing our live blog is the esteemed Brian Caravu, and we're joined, as always, by our very own Alex Talish and his new cohort over at the Packers Lounge, Miss Jamie Jorers. Also joining us as our live blog guest panelist is Michael Davidson of GreenBayPackerNation.com. So, Corey, tell us what's on tap tonight.
Joining us later tonight will be Packers defensive lineman Howard Green, one of the heroes of the Jets game, and who turned in another strong performance against the Cowboys. But right now, it's time for the good, the bad, and the ugly. We got the good. We got Aaron Rodgers.
Welcome back, Aaron Rodgers.
Clay Matthews III.
No joke, making a bid for league MVP.
Sam Shields.
Hello, interception.
And we got the bad. We got Wade Phillips. Yikes.
The fired Wade Phillips.
John Kitna.
Holy cow, is that cat bad.
Mike Jenkins.
We're going to show a little video of Jenkins a little later. That's just poor effort, Mike.
And Jerry Jones.
The ugly in Jerry Jones.
Oh, yeah.
For those of you unaware, been living in a cave, haven't checked out the blog for whatever reason, I wrote a post after the Cowboy game expressing my sincere thoughts and feelings on how Packer fans need to take a little extra pride, a little extra, motivation from the fact that the Packers went on national television and thoroughly dismantled the Dallas Cowboys.
45-7!
Are you kidding me?
Come on.
Are you kidding me?
45-7. That's America's team?
That's 45.
I think America's team.
To seven.
Had 45.
Yep.
And the marketing of America's team.
Had seven.
Yeah.
I would agree with that assessment.
Now, I had a little problem with your post there.
Which one?
I hate Jerry Jones as much as any Packer fan.
Okay. Yes.
But I think it just went to a little extreme because there are things that the Packers can learn from Jerry Jones. I know that's blasphemy. I know that's sacrilege. Okay. But there are things. He is an entertainment wizard and he puts butts in the seats. And you know what? By making that change to Jason Garrett, as much as Jason Garrett is not a head coach. Okay.
Right. Okay.
Jason Garrett is a joke of himself.
A joke of himself.
Did anybody watch the training camp with the Dallas Cowboys two years ago?
Absolutely.
And he was like the second coming of coaching.
Right.
And then you don't hear about this guy, and then all of a sudden they make... Here's the thing. It's an entertainment, okay? And the fact that Jerry Jones can market the hell out of the Dallas Cowboys, and he's got Texas to back him up, and he puts his big screen in the stadium. I mean, there's some things that the Packers... What I was scared of, I agreed with your post 100%, okay? And if anybody hasn't read Aaron's post, I agree with it.
Right.
And I got to say 99.9%, okay? But the problem is that the Jeff Blums of the world and the Mark Murphys of the world,
right,
they might read your post and they might think, you know what? G-Force is okay. The Packer drumline is okay. The fact that we don't have cheerleaders is okay. I know we got arguments about that, but still, whatever.
We have differences.
But
I hear
whatever.
You. But I understand
but
where you're
it's
coming
like, you know what I mean? It's like all of a sudden,
right,
it's okay. The Packers are doing everything right.
Right,
and from
right,
a marketing perspective, and from a charity perspective, and from a development perspective, and a non-football perspective,
right,
the Packers are not doing everything
okay
right.
And here's my answer to that. And there were a couple people in the comments section who wrote, similar things to what you're saying right there. The post is about football, obviously, and the point I'm making there and here is that, Jerry Jones is running the football operations.
Oh, yeah, which is a travesty in and of itself.
While being the owner of the football team and while harboring a desire to kill revenue sharing and the basic model.
Yes, yes.
By which the NFL has built its very popularity.
Yes.
So when I say that the Packers, are run by Ted Thompson and he's making football decisions, it's purely, I'm talking, obviously, yes, the Packers are very concerned about marketing. The Packers are very concerned about sponsorships. The Packers are a business. I understand that. And there are people within the Packers organization who are charged with those tasks.
And then most of those people need to be fired.
But that those people are not making the football decisions.
No.
And those people are not trumpeting the Packers as a way forward for the NFL.
True.
The way Jerry Jones is.
Yeah.
So, you know, I understand, yes, of course they're a business. Of course they have things they can work on. And of course, you know, that they are not better than any other NFL team when it comes to, you know, their operations day to day in the business field. All right, everybody's got to make a buck. Very, as we all saw during the shareholders meeting, the Packers are making a huge play for the land around Lambeau because they have to generate local revenue, and they're going to expand, and they're going to build these things, and it's good, money is going to flow. That's the whole point. You know, the Packers can't build a billion-dollar stadium, so they have to, you know, invent new ways to earn money. I understand all that.
Well, and don't get me started on the whole charity thing. I mean, the Packers tout the fact that they give less than $1 million to charity. I guarantee the Dallas Cowboys give $1 million to charity.
Probably more.
Yeah. Okay, don't come up there on the shareholders meeting, okay, when you're a $100 million revenue team, okay, and tell me that you don't give 1% to charity, because that's a joke of itself.
You heard that, people.
It is. It is. It's a joke.
I heard that.
Okay?
I understand.
You know,
I'm
living in a big city, so I'm a big city boy,
right.
You know, and I just feel like the Packers could use some of Jerry Jones' big city mentality in their life. But when it comes to football, I mean, come on. Seriously. Jerry Jones, you know what he should have done? He's a joke. He is a joke.
He is a joke.
Okay?
That's true.
What he should have done.
There we agree.
Instead of hiring Jason Garrett, he just should have done what he's always wanted to do. Okay?
Coach the team himself.
Why not?
Coach the team himself.
Just coach the team, Jerry. Just coach the team. And when are they going to take away his franchise license? Seriously.
Never going to happen.
I wish it would.
Never going to happen.
You
know why it's never going to happen? Because that game on Sunday night was still the highest rated thing on television on Sunday night.
Well, who were they playing?
The Green Bay Packers.
Hello.
But they were also playing the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, but the last time we played on Sunday night.
I know.
The last time Green Bay Packers played on Sunday night.
Who were they playing?
Okay. But
who
still,
playing,
that was the highest rated.
I know.
And
I know.
You know what? It's a story of our lives. Anytime the Green Bay Packers are playing a game on national football, it feels like every time the next day, it's the highest rated game of all time.
Right. And whoever we played is the storyline.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, although Mike Ditka, I got to give Mike Ditka a little credit, okay? I hate to do this. But he was on Monday Night Football last night.
The coach.
Mike Ditka, the man who never talks about the Green Bay Packers, saying that the two teams to look at in the NFC right now, today, are the Green Bay Packers and the New Orleans Saints. Hello.
Did he really say that? Those two?
Yeah.
Packers and the Saints?
Yeah.
Interesting. I would throw the Falcons and the Giants definitely into that mix, who, of course, we've face both later on in the season, so
yikes.
Those would be some good barometers, if you will. Obviously, the other big news this week is the release of one Mr. Al Harris, cornerback, ex-cornerback of the Green Bay Packers.
It's really sad.
It is.
It just makes
entirely
me,
sad.
It makes me sad.
It makes me sad. It perplexes me, though. In the way that people have just gone off the deep end.
Because it makes them sad. They're emotional. Okay?
People
are emotional, okay? When Matt Hasselbeck got on his little high horse in the freaking playoffs, we want the ball and we're going to score. And Al Harris put the dagger in his face. Okay? That, you have an emotional response to that.
I understand.
Okay? But I get you. Sam Shields, hats off to you. I'm not going to take my hat off, but hello.
Amen to Sam Shields.
Amen to Sam Shields. Amen to Tremont Williams. Okay?
Oh, yeah.
So, yes, those guys are playing lights out. So they can, and you know, I agree with you. I mean, I think you don't know. Wait,
right.
let's listen to.
I was just going
to
say, we're sad about it because we're fans. Fans are upset about it because they're fans. However, there's a certain member of the media.
The media.
A credentialed member of the media. Who seems to have a take on this situation.
Should we listen to that?
Well, let's take a listen to something that was posited earlier today by one Mr. Jason Wilde on his program, Green and Gold Today.
Green and Gold Today? Let's hear what he had to say.
Here's what Aaron Nagler wrote on Cheesehead TV, and I think it falls in line with some of the things that you were talking about while I was trying to get connected here. He says, I found the most telling quote to be this one, and I think this is from Spoon's story, but Al said something similar to me. They definitely were leading me on, telling me something else. I just didn't think Ted and Mike would do that. I thought they would be a little more straightforward with me. They had me going home and studying and things like that, and they already knew their plans. And, you know, I talked about that with Al, too, about how they had him all week long preparing as if he was going to be active. He was working with the ones in practice and then going through the defense and sending him home with the game plan and whatever, and then obviously it didn't happen. Here's what Aaron writes. I wanted more than I can express for Al Harris to retire a Packer. It's not going to happen, and that makes me sad, but I refuse to vilify the Packers for cutting ties on a soon-to-be 36-year-old cornerback who completely shredded his knee last year. Yes, the rehab videos at National Football Post were a fantastic look inside Harris's fight to return, but working out and playing football, especially a hyper-reactionary position like defensive back, are two very, very different things. If Harris signs with another team and plays lights out, then I'll question the Packers' decision. But right now, I need to have a little faith in the people who have watched Harris the last 3 weeks and determine the team is better off without him. And I was just going to say, my point is, you know, I think you got to pick your side now, and then we'll see if you have to admit if you were right or wrong. And I'm picking my side, saying that I think they made a mistake. You can say that you agree with the decision and it was the right thing to do for the development of the rest of those guys, but Aaron seems to be kind of taking a wait-and-see approach, maybe leaning a little bit toward believing the Packers.
No, and I agree with I'm not sure who I agree with. But I said I said this before. No, I think I agree with you on this. Is it's not the typical, you know, get rid of him a year early. Well, I mean, I think the time to get rid of him a year early, if there's anything left at all, the time to get rid of him a year early would have been at the end of this season. I think right. if he's got anything left, and especially if he helps somebody beat the Packers, this is a disaster for Ted.
Oh, this is really interesting. How many ifs did you hear in that last couple of sentences? How many if that, if this? Okay, first of all, this is the whole point of my post. Whole point of the post. We don't know. We haven't seen him at practice. The Packers have for 3 weeks. All right? Yes, his agent says this. Al Harris says that. They have no vested interest whatsoever in saying these things, obviously. Again, McCarthy from the podium. This is not a physical decision. This is a roster decision. Oh, yeah, I totally buy Mike McCarthy because every head coach in the NFL stands up at the podium and always is forthright and tells the truth. All right? Neither side. I don't believe either side, all right? I choose to buy what the Packers are selling because I'm not at practice.
Well, look, it's
I haven't seen exactly. The man on a football field.
And at the end of the day, it's a business decision. It's a $2 million decision, okay? If I'm at practice and I'm looking at Al Harris, do I want to spend $2 million to have a great nickel cornerback when I have the future of my nickel cornerback on the field? And I got a guy who just made an interception against Dallas that was redonkulous, okay?
Mm-hmm.
That interception was ridiculous.
Ridiculous.
Okay, the kid has stepped up, and that's the future. It's just like Bulaga, okay? It's the same situation as Tauscher and Bulaga. If Tauscher's knee was, it's the same thing. It's a $2 million, and there's a reason nobody picked him up on waivers today, because nobody wants to spend $2 million if the Packers and Ted Thompson already said, you know what, he's not really worth $2 million.
And here's the other thing. This is all, I'm going to keep this short, because I don't want to turn this into bash green and gold today every week. Although you're giving me cause, Wildy. I'll just say this. I find it interesting that a credentialed member of the media is telling a blogger that he has to take sides. And the blogger is saying, let's take a wait-and-see approach. Let that sink in for a second. What do you think about that, Corey Banky?
I don't have an opinion. Somebody on the live blog said, You don't mean green and gold today. You mean green, gold, and purple today.
Whatever. So there's that. So there's the whole Al Harris thing and many, many different reactions to it. So let's get down into this game where we kicked the Cowboys' butt on national freaking television. I mean, how great is that? How great is it to know that every person in America who likes football was probably watching this game at one point or another, has seen the highlights, and even no matter how much NBC wants to talk about the Cowboys, matter how much ESPN and NFL Network want to talk about the Cowboys.
That's all they want to talk about.
All you can show are highlights of Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers and Clay Matthews destroying the Dallas Cowboys. Mm. Okay, you want to see the epitome of why the Cowboys are where they are? Show the Jenkins video. This is Mike Jenkins, corner, who, he's not great. He's okay. This is his attempt at a tackle. There he is at the top. He's number 21. we'll show it again. Watch him. Watch this.
Oh.
Maybe not.
I've decided not to tackle today.
One more time. Just for those of you who missed it the first time. Here he is. Maybe not. Oh, here it is. Here he comes. No, I'm not going to tackle today.
Why? Why should I tackle?
Are
he's going to get a touchdown.
Serious?
He's going to get a touchdown. Why should I tackle?
Are you serious?
I mean,
that right there tells you all you need to know about the, quote, heart, unquote, that is left in the players that populate the Dallas Cowboys roster. Right there. In one play. You got to be kidding me. So, yeah. I mean, Aaron Rodgers is on fire. Brandon Jackson, my boy.
Wow.
Oh, my God, is he terrible.
He's so bad.
He's awful.
I don't understand, okay? I'm starting to agree with some people. Some people...
That's always bad.
It's so weird, okay? Right. I seriously think Mike McCarthy gives it to John Kuhn just so people can go Kuhn. Seriously. Why? Okay, look at this. Okay. John Kuhn, 13 attempts. Brandon Jackson, 13 attempts. What? Why? Why is that, Mike McCarthy? What are you doing?
I know.
What are you doing?
I agree.
Because clearly, and I hate second-guessing coach, okay?
I know you do.
That's my biggest pet peeve is when people are like, oh, he should have done this play call. He should have done this play call. You know what? I hate that. But seriously? Why? Why does Brandon Jackson and John Kuhn have the same amount of attempts?
I don't know. Well, I do know. Because McCarthy doesn't think that Brandon Jackson can stand up to the punishment. He wants to give John Kuhn a bunch of carries to keep Jackson fresh. I'm not saying that Brandon Jackson is anywhere near this quality of back, this caliber of back. So just hold the tweets and emails, please. But it's very similar to what Andy Reid used to do with Brian Westbrook. Other guys run it between the tackles, and then he'll have Westbrook for the screens, mm-hmm. the off-tackle stuff, you know, the outside stuff.
Not buying it.
But I'm just saying, that's his thinking.
That's his thinking,
and
but
again,
John Kuhn is not. John Kuhn.
I know.
John Kuhn is a fullback, okay?
I know. I agree.
He's not a running back. Why? 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 Why?
I agree.
Why? And people are tweeting. Okay, there was this tweet yesterday that you were like, you had retweeted, and it was like somebody was saying that Brandon Jackson wouldn't start on another team. Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
That is BS, number one.
That just drives me insane when people do
that. But Brandon Jackson would start on some teams, okay? I only know about the Green Bay Packers because I'm a hardcore Green Bay Packer fan. So I couldn't think about the teams. I needed to call up Brian McIntyre and Holly Phelps of the other 31 to find out what teams he would start on. But I guarantee you he would start on some teams.
See, I don't even know. I don't know if he'd start on other teams, but I don't care. Like, that's the thing that kills me. Okay, let's say that's true. Let's say Brandon Jackson would not start on another NFL team. Who cares? All he has to do is execute the offense on this one.
That's what Jamie's saying.
But that's it. That's all he has to do. He is good enough, people.
He's more than good enough, though.
Oh, hey, do we have any footage of Brandon Jackson scoring a touchdown?
No.
Oh, okay.
Here's one.
Oh, look at this. Okay, now tell me Ryan Grant can do this.
Mm.
You can't because he can't, all right? This is McCarthy finally playing to Jackson's strength. That's a great move. It's a great catch. It's a great touchdown. People, get behind it. Feel it. Love it. Learn it. Know it. That's what I'm talking about.
Oh, Oppie's ahead of us. He's saying two TDs. Oh, yeah, we got that.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, was there another one?
Another one?
Oh, wait. What can't he do? What are people always upset about? Oh, he can't just plant and go. He has no power in his legs. Oh, wait. There he is planting and going and driving the pile about 2 yards. Now, actually, you know what? Don't tell the Cowboys, but I don't think that was a touchdown.
Yeah, but if they if they actually knew how to challenge balls.
Yeah. If Wade Phillips was competent, well then. My point is, look, he makes a cut, sees it, and goes. Everyone says he can't do. But there he is doing it. Visual evidence, people. Get behind it. Get behind it. Okay, Jermichael Finley is retweeting me, so hold on as I shoot him a text here to let him know the number to call in if he wants to call.
Oh, man, I got to get my Jermichael Finley animation.
Well, I don't think he's going to call right away, but yeah. You always got to be ready.
Well, everybody,
if Jermichael wants to call.
Everybody was tweeting him. Everybody was saying he should come on because we were needing it.
Poor guy.
We were sorry. Which is funny because last week everybody tweeted Ryan Grant, and a lot of people tweeted it.
I know.
Did he call?
And he got nothing.
No, he didn't call.
Nothing. Of course, he didn't acknowledge it. Finley's at least acknowledging it.
So yeah, he's like, oh, yeah, yo, give me the number.
That's what we do. So, yeah, Brandon Jackson, he's all that in a bag of chips. We'll talk a little bit more on the flip about the offense and the defense. And, yes, of course, as always, special teams with Brian Caribou. We got about 4 minutes before we have to go to break. And before we do, I want to touch on something really quick. We're going to talk to him a little later. But Howard Greene had another really strong game. He didn't make the big one highlight reel play that he made against the Jets where he blew up the reverse. But I don't think he played as many snaps because Pickett was in there for a while before he got hurt. But Howard Greene, I'm telling you, somebody took people to task for comparing him to Grady Jackson. Now, I don't think he's Grady Jackson in talent, but I think that pickup could be Grady Jackson-esque in how it affects the Packers' ability to defend the run for the rest of the year. He is a big man, and he eats up a lot of space, allowing the linebackers to do what they got to do. Go back and watch that man against the Cowboys. It is impressive.
I just don't understand. What were the Jets thinking?
Well, he got big. He got big.
But that's good, though.
I don't know.
I mean, I mean, can you be too big as a nose tackle?
Apparently.
He's not as big as Gilbert Brown was.
No, we like.
He's not as big as Grady Jackson was.
Somebody on the live blog said, hurt again, Negler. I think that's in regards to Pickett. We'll touch on that in the next segment. Oh, trust me. I got something to say about that.
Oh, we're coming back?
Maybe. Unless we just want to end it now.
Awesome.
We can if you want. I mean,
no, I don't want to.
Half-hour transplants.
It depends on what the fans want.
I'm
all about the fans here at Cheesehead TV.
So we have noticed.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Neither do I. So, yeah, that's Howard Greene. He came to play. Love the pickup. Classic mid-season edition from Mr. Ted Thompson. Yeah, let's go to a break. When we come back, we'll talk offense, we'll talk defense, and of course,
and Jason Wilde's on the live blog, so we'll have to come back.
We'll have to come back and talk to Mr. Wilde if you see what he's got to say for himself.
Yeah, he missed the whole rant, so
that's all right. He can download it like I download his show.
Yeah, it's true.
We'll see you on the flip side when we come back right after this. Against the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, it was like the offense we were all dreaming about.
It was. It was kind of an extension of the preseason almost.
Yeah, it was like I woke up, I was watching the game,
right,
and it was September, and it was everything I wanted it to be.
Exactly.
It was like Christmas.
Yeah, it was like Christmas.
It was so nice. It was dinking and dunking.
A lot of it.
It was so much dinking and dunking.
And then shots when
I was
they're
loving
available.
It. Yeah, but Aaron Rodgers just... He was on fire. He like that back shoulder pass.
Oh, to Jordy Nelson.
Man.
That was ridiculous. Are you kidding me?
And the three-step drops and just the simple stuff, you know? If I don't have it, I don't take it. Right. Just
and his ability to
automaton.
Run. His ability to run when something's not there.
Oh, yeah.
Out of trouble.
Well, you'll just have to take one look at Carson Palmer.
Oh, jeez.
Okay. Please. Just take one look at any quarterback in the league and thank the lucky stars for Aaron Rodgers' ability to run and his pocket presence.
Wow. Just wow. The 27-yard run where, yes, he did the belt at the end. That was incredible. That was incredible.
Yeah, a lot
I
of
thought
people,
for sure
a lot
he
of
was
people
sacked.
Don't like the belt.
I'm fine with the belt. I get the, you know, people have this perception that I hate the belt.
I don't care about
it. I don't
it.
Hate the belt. I hate that he did the belt during a meaningless game against a team they were going to play the next week in a playoff game. I hated that circumstance. But the belt itself,
I like the belt better than the Packer
fine.
Shark.
See, I love
the I know.
Shark.
The Packer Shark is the lamest thing ever.
I love the Packer Shark. We're not going to go there again.
The Packer Shark.
The Packer Shark has been many, many years deceased.
The Packer Shark is annoying.
I miss the Packer Shark. Well, okay, let me ask you this. What do you like better or hate more, the Packer Shark or the Samurai?
I like this Samurai better.
All right.
Because
I do too.
Because it's like it's killing something. And that's what he's doing. You know? Whereas
look,
the
shark is killing
no,
something.
No, it's not.
It's
like,
killing its prey.
No,
in the
it's
water.
Not killing anything. It's like I'm a shark. I don't know. It's kind of lame.
Oh dear.
Yeah, that was a long maybe. Time ago though.
It was a long
it's been
time
a
ago.
While
okay,
since
so but
shark.
Here's the thing. That back shoulder to Jordy Nelson is exactly what you and I and Brian Caribou every single day saw during training camp. I mean, Jordy Nelson and Aaron Rodgers were sick all throughout training camp. They were unconscious how in sync they were. And yet, Mike McCarthy comes out and says James Jones has a slight edge on Jordy Nelson. Now, I never understood that. And now we've seen James Jones and his up-and-down play all year.
Although in that game, he had a great game.
He had a great game sandwiched between two, you know, James Jones-esque screw-ups.
Mm-hmm.
The fumble on his first reception,
mm-hmm.
and then the big drop on the slam play down there in the end zone. So you know, he is exactly who we thought he was. Like, he comes out, and he does this whole thing last week about needing opportunities. So he gets these opportunities, and he screws two of them up. I mean, yes, fantastic game. Huge touchdown.
He had a that was the biggest great, game of his career.
Great game, but still two huge screw-ups. You know, either of which in a game where they were playing any other team that had a pulse
mm-hmm.
might have been in the swing in the game, a.k.a. the Chicago game, you know?
Yeah.
Just can't do it.
Well, I will say that I felt like our offense, it looked like the first-string offense.
It sure did.
It wasn't the first-string offense.
No, no Finley.
But
no
it
Donald
like
Driver.
It. No Corliss.
Nobody. But, you know, they were all over the place. They were marching it up and down the field. Fantastic. So, James Jones, you lived up to your billing.
The only thing you really have to say, 45-7. I mean.
That's true.
Seriously?
That is true.
Is there any, I mean.
And you know why? But you know
like,
what?
Some people were, like, complaining that it wasn't a shutout, and I'm just like, wow. Seriously? 45-7.
Right.
45. No, and yes, Wade Phillips was inept, and yes, he lost his job.
Yes, he did.
But still.
Yep. No, I'm, you know, I'm on board. And but you know what the engine is? The engine that drove the entire thing was the offensive line. I mean, the protection Rodgers had.
Oh yeah.
I mean, that he's had the last three, four games has been pretty incredible. I mean,
yeah.
I cannot remember.
Yeah, I mean,
a time when a Mike McCarthy offensive line has played better than this. In regards to pass protection.
I would agree with that.
In the running game.
Chad Clifton, again, had another great game.
The running game was still a little hit and miss, but.
Well, when you give it to John Kuhn as many times as you give it to Brandon Jackson. Hello.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear. But, yeah, I mean, just, and Josh Sitton, if this guy doesn't go to the Pro Bowl, there should be an investigation.
Well, it all depends on if the Packers go to the playoffs.
I mean, it's just ridiculous. Sitton is playing some of the best ball on the entire team. I mean, he's such an unsung hero. I mean, here's the thing. All week, a lot of the national media people were talking about Ndamukong Suh and, you know, all the havoc he'd been, you know, causing for the last few weeks. Everyone seems to conveniently forget the fact that Josh Sitton completely shut him down when they played Detroit a couple weeks ago.
Do you think James Jones is better than Jordy Nelson? Right now, today. Because I don't.
I think he's more talented, but I don't think
but
he's,
today,
quote, better.
Today, no. I don't think he is.
No. Here's the problem, though. And so we had a commenter on the site who pointed this out, and I
completely agree with this. If Mike McCarthy ran a truer, a more pure West Coast offense,
yeah.
I think Jordy Nelson would be invaluable.
Oh my goodness. Jordy Nelson would be like the Wes Welker of our offense.
Just the stuff he could do over the middle. He does the dirty work and the blocking. He's big enough to work inside.
What about that? We threw two slants in the whole game?
Yeah, but hey, at least we threw some slants.
But we threw two?
But what I love...
We should be throwing like...
one.
We should be throwing a slant a quarter at least.
What?
Just to keep them honest.
But you know what? Speaking of keeping them honest, you know what I loved was Rodgers doing those smoke screens out on the side. You know?
He went right one time, then he went left one.
The defensive
backs
are playing 10 yards off. Yeah. I'm going to take 5 yards every time. Hey.
Thanks.
That's what I mean. Rodgers, by far, his best game. The offense, on fire. The defense, can't say enough.
This defense came out of nowhere. I'm sorry. I don't think people thought this defense was going to be this good this year. I do not think that people thought it would be this good. Clay Matthews, okay? He might be the best draft pick the Packers have ever had. And I'm including Paul Hornung in that. Okay? Paul Hornung was probably the best draft pick the Packers ever had, okay? And you know what? People like my grandfather, they bitched about it, okay? And I said B, and I know my Aunt Gert's very mad at me right now.
Aunt Gert.
But people like my grandfather, he admitted. They really were like, oh, we can't afford that. We can't afford paying for that, you know?
Right.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
But Clay Matthews? Wait, is there somebody in this room that didn't believe that we should trade up for Clay Matthews?
I didn't say that. Mm. I said we gave up too much. I thought we gave up too much.
But we didn't.
No.
Dude, I would give the entire draft for Clay Matthews, okay?
Okay, Mike Ditka.
Seriously. Would you not?
I don't know about the entire draft.
Okay.
I certainly would give up a lot.
We got B.J. Raji and Clay Matthews in the same round, which is redonkulous.
It helps.
In and of itself. But if we just got B.J. Raji and Clay Matthews in that entire draft, okay?
I'm on board. I mean, the guy, like I said at the open, guy is making a legitimate...
Wow.
A legitimate case.
Wow.
To be MVP of the league. I mean, that's kind of crazy. I mean.
It's insane.
He plays linebacker.
He plays linebacker, and it's his second year in the league. It's insanity. We've never had a player like that. Not in my lifetime.
Nope.
Not in my lifetime. I've not seen.
Well, on the defensive side of the ball.
Yes. And Reggie White, God rest his soul, love him, Packer legend. And he was that kind of force, and he could do that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, this guy, the sky is the limit.
But the difference there, obviously, Reggie White had a profound impact on the Packer organization. No one's saying he didn't, blah, 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 blah.
No, I'm just saying.
But we got him in the middle of his career.
Exactly.
He'd already done a lot.
We didn't draft Reggie White.
We drafted Clay Matthews. That's ridiculous. To think that he'll only get better.
I'm just saying, in my lifetime on the defense, Reggie White's up there. You know what I mean?
Well, of course,
it's like, how can you compare? When Yancey Thigpen drops the ball, okay, and we go to the NFC, we win the NFC Central because Yancey Thigpen drops the ball, and Reggie White's sitting there and goes to each section of Lambeau Field and raises his helmet. Okay, I cannot wait until Clay Matthews is doing that same thing. Okay, after we play the Bears and we got home field advantage. Come on now.
Corey, some bold stuff tonight.
Look, 6-3, okay? remember 3 weeks ago?
I remember when we were 3-1.
And
you were all like...
I was loving it.
We were loving it, and then we went 3-3.
Yeah, but 6-3.
I hear you.
You can't complain with that. There's nothing to complain about. We'll find something.
I'll find something. But here's the thing. I mentioned that Clay Matthews will only get better. You know who else will only get better? Sam Shields. Are you kidding me?
Came out of nowhere.
You kidding?
Who was saying in training camp? A lot of people were saying that he wouldn't even make the team.
Yeah.
Like there was
a large faction, including myself, at the beginning when he was dropping everything in sight.
Well, man, he dropped every ball that was thrown to him or kicked to him.
On returns, exactly. Sam Shields making the most ridiculous interception when matched up with Dez Bryant. Now, here's the other thing. When Dez Bryant got the touchdown, that revealed something. And you can be sure that other teams will be trying to match up their bigger receivers with Sam Shields to try and get him inside wherever Shields is. Because, you know, diminutive guy.
But he's the nickelback.
I understand that.
He's the nickelback, okay?
I understand that.
And, you know, he can be diminutive, but it's okay if you're diminutive and you're covering slants and you're covering the middle. I mean, I'd rather have Sam Shields covering the middle than Brandon Chiller, for goodness sake.
Oh, Brandon
Jeez
Chiller.
Louise.
What is that issue there? I mean, here was our, it was supposed to be our cover linebacker, our specialist to take the opposing tight end. And all he ever see out of the guy is him trailing a yard behind the tight end he's supposed to be covering while the tight end catches the ball for a first down. He's like the A.J. Hawk of pass defense.
He really is.
A.J. Hawk on the run defense.
A.J. Hawk had a good game, though.
He did. He did, as did Desmond Bishop.
And Kyle, I was at that game, too, by the way. Where Yancey Thigpen dropped the ball, I was at that game. So just so everybody knows.
Corey has to make sure you get that.
Well, no, Kyle said he was at the game.
No, I
was there.
It's live. That's what we do.
I was there. I look at the live blog, and then I interrupt Aaron because he's talking about something I don't know what he's talking about. So I'm like, hey, I was at that game.
Oh, Lord. Wait. Continuing on with the defensive secondary, Charlie Peppra, there's no way Big B gets his job back. There's no way Big B gets his job back unless Peppra gets hurt.
Mm.
I said it. I'm saying it, and I said it.
Wow.
There's just no way.
That's a bold statement.
You saw Big B got a bunch of snaps at the towards the second half of the game. Phone's ringing, dude.
maybe it's JerMichael Finley.
It might be JerMichael Finley. Although I'm not sure he has your home number. But maybe he does. I don't know. Big B looked a step slow. And, of course, that's to be expected, obviously.
Oh, wow. People are saying in the live blog they want to get a Pepper jersey. Slow down.
Easy.
That's a bold statement.
On the Pepper jersey.
I mean, I'm with you. The guy's been playing. He has been playing pretty good. Last 2 weeks, I'll give it. But 3 weeks
maybe,
ago,
You know who's allowed to get a Pepper jersey?
Who's that?
Jason Wilde.
Oh, yeah.
He's allowed to get a Pepper jersey.
I wonder
jersey.
If Jason Wilde even has a Packers jersey.
He has a lot of Oregon stuff.
I mean,
no Packers
that's
stuff.
All he wears is Oregon stuff. It's so annoying. I put these videos up, and it's him at Lambeau Field, and it's him in, like, Oregon. Yeah. It's like, seriously, dude?
Hey, wait. So speaking
of... Oh, that's right. No, he's a reporter.
Yes.
So he can't...
He doesn't take sides.
He doesn't take sides.
Unless he's taking a side. But we digress. So I wanted to talk a little bit more about the safety position, and namely Nick Collins. And his $50,000 fine.
Woo! I kind of knew that. A lot of people thought he would get suspended. I didn't think he was.
Well,
I didn't think that hit was that bad.
I didn't either. I thought it was flagrant, and
I thought it was
deserving of a flag. I thought for sure he'd get fined. I wasn't quite. I thought most likely he would get suspended just because of the way the NFL came out so hardcore about. They were not going to be afraid to suspend first-time offenders, and that was his first offense, helmet to helmet.
Yeah.
So I thought, you know, okay, this is the hit. National television, guy going to the head, they'll make an example of him. But obviously they chose not to.
I mean, if you $50,000, that's a lot of money. Even if you make $2 million, that's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money, but...
I know,
you know
he makes
Rod
more
Woodson
than that.
Said it. Rod Woodson said it best when they did this whole... When the NFL started this whole crackdown... You can find these guys, you know, nine ways till Sunday. The only thing that's going to change behavior and change their mentality, and I know a lot of people are on board with this. Is them not playing.
That's true.
Ejections during games, suspensions for the following week. That is the only thing that is going to grab players' attention.
I know, but it's, you know, with the way this game is, okay, how many teams, okay, do we watch a game and the announcers are saying, this team is racked by injuries,
right?
And it's not just us.
No,
and we're one of the top five injured teams.
Well,
okay?
Pittsburgh's joined the club after last night. Holy cow!
But okay, you're gonna so I'm Roger Goodell, right? Which would be awesome if I was Roger Goodell. The Packers would just win the Super Bowl every year. So I'm Roger Goodell, and I'm going, okay, all these guys are injured, and I'm really gonna suspend a Pro Bowl player. I mean.
I hear you.
People aren't packing Lambeau Field, okay,
to see Charlie Peppra?
To see Sam Shields and Charlie Peppra, okay? And I'm not even saying they're there to see Nick Collins.
Right.
But, hey, Nick Collins, okay? Let's talk about a player this year that has stepped up. As arrogant as that dude is, and as much as we were at Packer Fan Fest, and he was like, oh, yeah, Pro Bowl Nick Collins. Only call me Pro Bowl Nick Collins. You know what? Dude's been playing like that.
Yes, it's
that
true.
Interception on Favre? Are you kidding me? It's ridiculous. I can't say enough about Nick Collins this season.
Speaking of ridiculous, you know what is completely ridiculous? The fact that Ryan Pickett played in that game. I couldn't believe, A, that he was active, and B, that he played. I maybe could understand him being active as an emergency sub, but starting in that game? Really? After you just shut down the running game, one of the best running teams in the league, without him in the lineup? And then you go and you face the Cowboys, who haven't been able to run the ball all year.
Mm.
And you activate and start Ryan Pickett? And now, oh, shocker, he's hurt. See, to me, that's just, I'm sorry. I got to say it. That's just stupid. I don't get it. Why on earth, when you're coming into a bye week, the guy sat out the last 2 weeks. Give him two more weeks to rest.
Mm.
Boom. He's ready for Minnesota.
Well, especially when you got Raji and you got Howard Green.
You got Howard Green.
Hello.
All right. You know what time it is?
No, I don't.
It is special teams with Brian Caravu. Call the man.
Uh-oh.
Let him know.
Hold on. Let me call
what
him.
What is up?
Let me call him.
Call the man. Now watch. You know this is when Finley will call when we're on with Brian. That's not coming through the board.
Oh, that's good. I can plug it in.
It always helps if you plug it in.
Hello?
Brian Caravu, how are you, buddy? Uh-oh. Hey, look, he's on video!
Brian!
Brian, talk. Say hi to the people. Oh, man. Technical difficulties.
Man.
We can't hear you, Brian.
Oh, I know why.
We're having a Railbird Central moment.
It's fine. It's better now. I just had to turn up the
Central moment.
Oh, there we are. There he is. How are you, Brian?
A Railbird Central moment. Thanks a lot.
That was a Railbird Central moment. So, well, of course, the Railbird Central moment is inspired by Packer Transplant. So, you know, it's all cyclical. It's all right. So what did we think of the Packers special teams this week?
Have to be encouraged by the plays made by Jared Bush. Had the Cowboys had the opportunity to review those plays, they might have gone the other way, but they didn't, and the plays count, and Jared Bush is a hero. Bob McGinn's player of the game.
I saw that. Pretty impressive stuff for a guy who Packer fans wanted run out of town.
He's having a solid season overall.
Absolutely. That is true. That is true. You just got to hope you don't see him from scrimmage, you know?
Hey, the one game he played on defense, he did well is fine, though, too.
But now, okay, so here's my question. Do you think, God help us, that Bush's strong showing in that one game added fuel to the fire for Al Harris's release?
No,
that's why they did it, but they thought. Hey,
I think Sam Shields' stellar play has added to the fuel to the fire to get Al Harris's release and the stepping up of Tremont Williams. As I tweeted earlier today, it was just in December of last season where Williams was dubbed Admiral Armbar, and how far he's come since then.
Absolutely. And I had a little back and forth with Barnwell over at Football Outsiders, the crew who named him Admiral Armbar and went so far as to make the picture. And he said he will always be Admiral Armbar to me. So that's nice. He's definitely solidified his reputation. Speaking of solidifying, Sam Shields back on kick return. Had one nice return, and now all of a sudden he is the kick returner. What do you think of that?
I love it. He showed how good he can be with his 48, 49-yard return. And, you know, returning kicks is one thing and returning punts is another thing. if you happen to drop a kickoff, you have time to grab it and pick it up. And so I think even if somewhere along the line here he happens to drop one kickoff, it's not the end of the world. You know, if he starts dropping multiple, then you should be worried. But, you know, he showed that he has some speed and can really get up the field and be a big-time threat. Now, do I want to see him on punt returns? No way. But that's not the case, so we don't have to worry about that.
All right, so obviously we're heading into a bye week, so you don't have to make any predictions this week, and you won't have to face the wrath of Corey. So, what do you have any plans for the bye week? I know you're a busy guy. All of a sudden, you're everywhere. You're the big news this week is Brian is. What are you? You're editing the Maple Street Press Brewers Annual. Is that what I read?
Yeah. So I'm the editor of the Maple Street Press Brewers publication now. But
and you're still going to do the Packers, right?
Yeah. No change there. Just extra duty here.
My goodness. My goodness. So if you need Wisconsin sports, ladies and gentlemen, Brian Caravu is your one-stop shop, without question. You going to take in any other football games, a college, pro, anything on your bye week?
Yep. So heading to New Orleans, LSU this weekend for the LSU Tigers game on Saturday. Make a college football road trip every year during the Packers bye week, and really excited to do that. And if anybody out there is living in Louisiana near Baton Rouge, I'm looking to have some gumbo before the game. Somebody hook me up.
There you go. Gumbo in the house for Brian Caravu. All right, Brian. Like I said, no predictions. So we love you this week. Go Pack Go. Thanks so much for all your hard work over there at CheeseheadTV.com. And we'll see you next week.
Thanks, guys.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are back live on the line with one of the newest Green Bay Packers, Mr. Howard Green. How are you tonight, Howard?
Doing fine. How you doing?
Doing well.
Yeah.
I got to say, it's an absolute honor to have you on the phone. I understand you were traveling today, and you've taken time out of your busy schedule to be with us and to be with Packer fans. Can't tell you how much that means. Thanks a lot.
Oh, appreciate it. Thank you for having me.
Let's go way back now. I believe you're from Donaldsonville, Louisiana.
Donaldsonville, Louisiana.
And is that a big town, small town? What's it like growing up there? Give us a little background.
It's a pretty small town, maybe about 15,000 people. I've been there all my life, grew up there, went to high school there. With me and a few of my cousins, one of my cousins, Jarvis Green, played for 8 years for the New England Patriots. And I mean, it was a good experience. Small town, everybody knows everybody, and football is pretty much all we had to keep us going around in the area. So we just got out there and did it and gave it 100%.
Now, when you came into the league, you were drafted by the Texans, I believe, and Dom Capers.
Right.
And you know, obviously, you're with Dom again here in Green Bay. Has there been much? Is there a big change in the defense, in the scheme, and in the terminology, or has it been pretty easy to pick back up?
It's been pretty easy to pick back up. I've been knowing Coach Capers for a long time now, and it's pretty much the same. Some of the terminology has changed a little bit from my rookie season, but for the most part, I mean, it's all the same. And he just, you know, Coach Capers is a tough guy. He wants his players tough and prideful, and you know, take pride in your work. And that's something that he preaches. And he got that message across at a young age to me, coming in as a rookie into the league.
And what about Mike Turgovac? I mean, you obviously, he's your defensive line coach. You came in, you had one practice, and then you were playing against the Jets. How much time have you spent with him since you came on board?
We put in numerous hours after everybody else leaves. We get together when he's not in the meeting, defensive staff meeting, and we get together and just sit around and we watch film, and he kind of talks me through what's going on and what are my keys and what, you know, just different calls in the defense stuff, the little things that I may that I need to know that I may hear, and you know, some of those things, you know, you want to know what they mean. Different calls mean different things in different teams. So some of the carryover, some of his carryover from New York, but it means something different. So just getting those little fine things down to the T to know what was what, and that can help you on the field to play and be an effective player and play faster.
Speaking of New York, how satisfying was it to blow up that reverse against the Jets?
that was great. I mean, it was great. I was, you know, I was just sitting there thinking about that when I was on the plane. I mean, it was well satisfying to me to go back and being, you know, have been there for a couple of weeks and, you know, going back to New York and beating them. I mean, hey, that did me all the good. I felt great after the win. The guys, they really congratulated me, and you know, it's kind of like a, I guess you could say, a homegoing thing. It was all fun. I had fun.
Hey, were you surprised? Were you shocked? What was it like? I mean, I talked to a couple people in the New York media who cover the Jets, and I know a lot of them were very surprised at your release. Mm-hmm. Were you completely blindsided by it?
Yes, I was. It was something that I didn't expect to happen at all. It just came about, and you know, you never want to. You want to have some kind of security, and I mean, there's no security in this league, but I thought, you know, me being a contributor and I was playing well and I just got back there and I thought things were going pretty good myself, and you get the carpet pulled from under you. So it's just something that kind of blindsided me, but I had to refocus and I didn't have much time to kind of worry about it because I got the call from the Green Bay Packers, and I mean, hey, it's all history now. I'm here, you know, I'm a Packer.
Yes, you are.
And Packer fans are happy for it.
Yes.
You mentioned growing up in a small town and, you know, football being your main focus. Has that been – how big of an adjustment has it been coming from New York and then going to Green Bay? Has that kind of been – I mean, I know it's happened fast and you're obviously concentrated on work, but has it been kind of a return to your roots, or, you know, have you just not had much chance to pay attention to it?
I mean, for the most part, I really didn't do much in New York because it was all, you know, all about football. I really didn't get a chance to go and hang out as much, like, you know, like some people may think. But it really wasn't all that big to me at all. Just me going to Green Bay now, it kind of reminds me of being at home a lot, and I could adjust to it very well and adapt to it, and I know, you know, it doesn't bother me, you know, from a small town. Going from a big city to a small town is not a big adjustment. I like the small town atmosphere anyway myself. I really do.
So heading into your bye week, like I said, you were traveling today. You got any plans? You doing any traveling during the week while you're away? You know, before you come back refreshed and ready for Minnesota, or are you just going to kind of hang low?
I'm trying to get some rest. I'm back in Louisiana now, and have to go home and kind of fix up some things around the house because I threw the house. I kind of left the house in the uproar when I left to come to Green Bay, so I need to go in and kind of organize myself, repack some clothes, and so I can have my things together when I head back up to Green Bay this weekend.
Well, like I said, Packer fans couldn't be more thrilled to have you on board, and we could not be more honored to have you on the show. Mr. Green, thank you so much for speaking to us tonight, and best of luck for the rest of the year.
I appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen, that's Howard Green, defensive lineman for the Green Bay Packers, joining us live here on Packer Transplants. What do you think about that, Corey Behnke?
I like it. You know I like it.
He was a nice guy.
Yeah, he was. He
Super
sounded
nice
awesome.
Guy.
He very, sounded awesome.
Very cool. Very chill. Very nice of him to – I mean – You were on a plane. You flew from Green Bay to Louisiana. And then you get off a plane and talk to us.
I like it.
Couple of dorks in New York.
You know what it's time for?
This week in the Packer Blogosphere.
You know what happened this week in the Packer blogosphere?
What's that, Corey Behnke?
We got a new blogger.
We got a new blogger here at Cheesehead TV.
Can you believe it?
I can't believe it, actually. It's amazing.
I'm
very happy.
We got our second female blogger.
We do indeed. Joining Mr. Alex Talish at the Packers Lounge.
A blogger who has actually proven herself all year.
Oh, absolutely.
To be very adept at game day. Something is very hard. Me and Brian Caravu, I think, know about this more than anybody else, and now Jamie herself knows that it's very difficult, okay, to watch the game day live blog and be a moderate. I'm a moderate person, okay? I know people don't believe that, okay, because I rant and I rave about the Packers, okay? But I'm pretty moderate, you know? I like to give the Packers a chance.
I hear you.
Okay?
I
like to give them a chance. It's a big season. A lot of ball game left. You know, how many times have you and I, okay, watched a game, okay, and every single Packer fan or wannabe football fan or whatever is in the bar and the Packers are down.
And
we
it's
have
over.
To go,
it's over.
It's over. It's the
over.
First quarter. And it's over.
Over.
And we got to go, you know what?
A lot of ball game left.
You know, and Jamie, she's good at that. You know what I love about Jamie?
What's that?
Better than Brian and better than myself, she is not afraid to tell Packer fans, look, she will not let your comment through. I love that. I love it.
Oh, dear. You have to respect her authority.
You really do. If you don't respect her authority, you're not getting your comment through, Tim A.
See, I'm new to the whole. Was totally oblivious to the whole Timmy, J.C. Lombardi thing going on with the live blog and with the Twitter and with everything. But I've been brought up to speed tonight, and I think it's hilarious.
It's hilarious.
It is hilarious.
Okay, just so you know, J.C. Lombardi is Timmy.
Yo, he's got to be, right?
It is.
He's got to be.
But it's funny, like Holly and Jamie.
Now, wait a
second.
Now, wait a second.
Holly and Jamie are like the Cheesehead TV bodyguards.
They really are.
They'll give you the stiff arm, okay? They'll Charles Woodson your butt. Like, don't even play games.
Dear. Okay, so here's the thing. For those of you not in the know, I know JC would probably find this hard to believe, but there will be people out there who don't know who JC Lombardi is. And I can't believe I'm even talking about him right now.
Wow, he's so excited we're talking about him.
He's just crazed, insane, and I can't even think of other words to describe him other than crazed and insane. Blogger? I'm sorry. Senior Packer blogger.
He's the senior Packer blogger
of the world, yeah. Apparently. Who writes us things like, "You have a nice little show. I could make time to be on it. You know, you're obviously jealous of me."
Yeah.
La 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 la.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's hilarious.
I actually want to stop talking
it's
about
hilarious.
It. Somebody put on the live blog that I'm scared of Jamie. No, I'm not. I'm not scared of Jamie.
I'm scared of Jamie.
I mean, I kind of am. But at the same time, I know she's on my side, so it's all good.
I hope she's on your side.
I mean,
your comment's not getting through.
She's a Packer fan. You know, what can I say?
You know, speaking of the Packer blogosphere, Michael Davidson's in the house. GreenBayPackerNation.com.
There you go.
Check it out. Screw J.C. Lombardi. Michael Davidson, people. Check his stuff out. This kid, you know, I think he tweets from class.
You know he does.
I think he's a student, and I think he tweets from class. And I don't condone that kind of behavior. But I'm very impressed by it. I will just say that. If Twitter had been invented when I was in school in any way, shape, or form, I never would have graduated anything. I never would have got through anything. I mean, but yeah, Michael, great stuff.
Oh, my God.
Check it out.
You would have got cut. If we had Twitter, okay, you would have got cut.
Oh, from NCSA?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, easily. Oh, my God.
If Twitter existed when we went to college.
Screw that. If Cheesehead TV existed. No, I wouldn't have gone to rehearsals. It would have been ugly. It would have been bad. Yeah, no. But Michael does a great job.
Yes,
people really should check him out because it's great stuff. It's great. And that whole blog is great. The whole site. Wonderful stuff.
It is. I mean, they do need a designer over there. I mean, that's the
why
nerd.
Why do you gotta hate?
Okay, I'm not hating.
Oh, you gotta hate.
And I think they would agree with me. It's like I can't go over there and help them to design their blog, but they got design issues, okay? All the writers over there, all the guys over there, I love them. I love what they do. John Rahor, Michael Davidson, the brothers. I love them.
Love.
But they need some design issues. They got some design issues.
You heard it here first. Design issues at GreenBayPackerNation.com. While we're praising the work of one Mr. Michael Davis.
Jason Wilde thinks you said screw Jason Wilde. Did you say that?
No. When did I say that?
Somebody said that.
Who
was
said
it me?
That?
I don't think I said it.
I don't think I said it.
I don't say screw Jason Wilde.
No. Jason Wilde plays a valuable
Jason
role.
I want Jason Wilde's office at Lambeau. He knows that. I covet it.
Speaking of Packer beat writers, Tom Silverstein, we're going to get you on the show, buddy. He said, talk to my agent.
Yeah.
I'm assuming that's someone close to him. But he will be on the
show. It's the editor. It's like a Howard.
Yeah. No, Howard's done. He's gone. He's going
oh,
to
he's gone?
Sporting News.
Tom Silverstein. What? Why won't he come on Packer Transplants?
Oh, he will. He will. He's playing. He'll be on. Well, we'll definitely. We'll have him on. Without question. We're going to have Paige Pearson on in a couple weeks. It's a veritable who's who of the media, which covers the Green Bay Packers.
I thought JerMichael Finley might call.
Nah, he's watching 30 at 30 or 30 for 30.
Well, doesn't he have DVR, for goodness sake? Doesn't he realize we're live?
We are live, but he's not going to call. He just retweets it so that everyone knows how much he's loved, and then he ignores us. I texted him the number in case he did want to call.
No, there will not be a Silverstein siren. Although.
No.
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 There's only like a couple people I would make something for, okay? And Leroy Butler, as everyone knows, is one of them.
No, he's obviously one.
Okay.
Yeah. Of course.
I would make, if Leroy Butler came on our show, I mean, he went on the stupid Appleton show today.
Easy.
Come on.
Easy.
Well, they steal everything we do.
We're gonna be
they
nice.
Put the live blog on there. They got the live stream. They got the Twitter chat. It's like, dude, why don't you just take my website, okay, and copy it and duplicate it over there.
What I love is that they have one camera.
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid.
Helping them. And we have,
and
like,
they have sponsors,
and
too.
They have sponsors. And we have like two dudes in their spare time doing everything and three cameras. Come on.
And an animation feed.
And animations for all our guests. What are you going
to
step?
We do need a Garda side. Andrew Garda has been on. Let's talk about that
let's
for a second.
Let's talk a little Andrew Garda.
Andrew Garda has been watching Packer Transplant. Dude, you're a Jets fan. What the heck?
What's that about, man? Don't let that get out.
He still has the shutout in his head.
Yes, he does.
He can't stomach the fact.
He can't shake it.
That we shut them out. New out. Meadowlands, the first shutout at the new stadium,
by the authored great, by the Green Bay Packers,
by the greatest team in the history of the NFL. That's kind of an honor, okay?
If
you're going to get shut out by someone, don't you want to get shut out by the greatest team ever in the history of the American football ever? 1919 established. NFL, I know what you're doing. Not 1921, okay?
No.
1919, okay? Because we were established before the NFL. Thank you very much.
So here's the thing. What you're saying is that the Jets fans should be thanking us. Andrew Garda should be thanking
us. It's true.
They should thank
us. He is. He's on our show, so we love it. Thank you, Andrew Garda.
Thank you, Andrew. Thank you for your thanks.
We love Andrew Garda.
We take your thanks, and we love you. He's never going to come back. He's done.
I don't know. What would we do if Leroy Butler came on our show, okay?
He's been on our show twice.
I know, but if he came on our show like all the time, okay?
Right.
What would we have to do?
Is this where we just go to Fantasyland? Because let me tell you, I got a list. I can just roll off right now.
I mean,
we have Leroy Butler on, right?
Oh.
Aaron Rodgers comes down to break down some X's and O's for like some chalk talk every week. And then JerMichael Finley is here in the studio.
I would never have a beat writer on.
Nah, I gotta have a beat writer.
No, I would. I,
nah,
if,
you gotta have
if I could have Leroy Butler, QB1, and a Packer player, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? I'm in heaven right now.
Oh,
just thinking about it.
Dear.
It's almost like thinking about 45-7. Like sometimes I just think right now, you know, I can't remember the scores all the time, okay? But it's hard to forget.
But it's hard to forget 45-7.
45-7.
That kind of burns itself in your brain. Hey, Alex Talish just pointed out something very, very true.
Finley's been on the show twice, by the way, live vlog.
Three times.
Three times, sorry.
CM3, the nickname, started on this here live vlog. Holla. That's all I got to say.
Uh-oh. Jason Wilde wants to come on our show right now.
All right. Tell him to call.
He needs to know the number.
You're always welcome. Just Skype.
Jason.
Just Skype.
We're
Jason.
On Skype.
Jason. We're live.
Buddy. Yeah. Just call the
or
Skype.
Or you can call.
We like to get you on video, though, because I like to see your face.
You like the Skyping, but if you got to call, 646-797-2909. Again,
if
that's 646. Wait, let's do it like they do. 646-797-2909.
Wait, I got to get his animation.
You hear that, Wildy? We're going to get your animation. Of course. I love how everyone's like, Wildy wants on. Let him on. Dude, no one's stopping him.
Yeah.
Skype is open.
He's got our Skype.
Remember, you set the tone for the show, Jason. If you want to call, you want to tweet, you want to text us, just, you know, let us know, and we'll talk about what you want to talk about.
Oh, man.
Oh, see? Come on, Will. See? Man wants on. I don't hear the phone ringing.
I don't. Yeah, I'm looking for the animation.
Howard Green picked up. Mm. We know the phone works.
What show was he on?
We know Skype.
It's been a while. Oh, there he is. Wildy 69.
Skype works. We know Skype works. Brian Caribou was on.
Oh, yeah. Skype works.
So, you know.
I hear him talking, but I don't hear him calling.
I think you hear me calling. I think I'm coming in. I think you hear me knocking. I think I'm coming in. We just lost a feed, dude.
Sorry,
look at this.
Dude.
Craziness.
It's back.
Pure
dude.
Craziness.
It's back. I was trying
cats
to get
cats and dogs living together.
I was trying to get Wildy's
mass hysteria.
He knows the number. People are like,
yeah,
he doesn't know the
just
number.
Like, he knows. 646-797-29.
But he has the Skype.
09.
He's on. Look, we could call him. Watch. Should we call him?
Yeah, go ahead. He won't pick up. He's probably trying to navigate putting the kid down, placating the wife, and trying to get his beef with Cheesehead TV taken care of all at the same time.
Yeah, I know. He always teases he's going to call in. And yeah, he's like, oh, I was just kidding.
Yeah,
I was just playing. Yeah.
See?
The funny thing is by not answering, it's not Aaron and Corey that he's
letting down.
Yeah.
No.
It's, you know, the most hardcore Packer fans in the world.
Yeah, well, you know.
Hey, cares about those.
Yeah, I know. He doesn't care. I mean, who does he serve? He doesn't serve Packer fans, obviously. What's going on? So many.
I had to call a different Skype account, so I'm doing it right now.
So many noises.
Uh-oh.
Somebody picked up.
Oh, he's got his Oregon on.
Hey,
oh!
Rocking the
Hold
Oregon,
on, I gotta get
baby.
The camera on. I gotta get the camera on.
Get the camera on for this. And look, no spaceship light tonight. I like it.
Hold on, he's gonna see the video.
No, he's gonna... Okay.
He can see
All
us.
Right. All right.
Oh, I've seen... Oh.
Oh, hello. How are you tonight, Mr. Wildy?
I don't want you to have to rehash all the earlier part of the show where you were taking exception to something from earlier today.
Oh, dear. But I can succinctly lay out my points, if that's what you're asking.
I would love to hear them.
All right. Well, we played your little clip there at the end of Green and Gold today. In its entirety.
Is that a copyright infringement?
Probably. Probably, yeah. But, you know, I just didn't want you to be misquoted, you know.
I appreciate that.
And I will point out to your lawyers that we make zero money off this show. So, you know, they can sue us for all we're worth, which is zero. So
I think I was being facetious,
I know,
but go ahead.
I know. So, yes, we played your clip in its entirety, like I said, so that you were not misquoted. And my only point was, and there were two points here. The first was towards the end, Bill was responding to what you had said when reading my post and then saying that you have to take a side. And Bill wrote, Bill said, if he's this and if he's that, then this could potentially be a disaster for Thompson or whatever it was he said. And I pointed out that those ifs are exactly what my post was about. I haven't seen Al Harris on a football field since he was playing against the 49ers in 2009.
Well, neither have we in an 11-on-11 situation.
No, exactly. No one has. The Packers brass has. The coach
Charles Woodson has.
Well, yes, he has. Now, here's my other point. Now, as a credentialed member of the media, you're telling a blogger that he has to take sides. And the blogger is telling the credentialed member of the media to wait and see. Now, I just think the roles are a little reversed here.
Well, I thought the point was to see who was right and who was wrong about it, and you kind of took this, well, this is what I think, but if this happens, then I'll think this. So I was just giving you a hard time. I didn't realize it was going to get you all fired up over there.
No, I'm not.
Sure he didn't.
No, wait.
Sure he didn't.
No, wait. No, wait a second. Last week was fired up. This week I just took exception.
What exactly is Corey doing that he keeps... That's way closer to you than I ever thought I would be.
I just like putting my... I just like it. It's fun.
I don't know what Corey's doing tonight. It's, you know, Jason, I show up. I sit down in my chair. I fire up my computer. And that's how the magic happens. I don't know. I like this
camera angle, though. I like the kind of... It's like getting a glimpse behind the curtain.
Yeah, well, you see, you're seeing it. Not everyone else is seeing it. Everyone else is seeing you. So you're getting
well,
a little
that sucks.
So yeah, my only point, not my only point, but one of my point, my major point, was that how can I possibly be upset at the Packers for releasing a guy who is going to be 36 years old, coming off a devastating knee injury, when I haven't seen him play football since last year? And someone wrote to me, but Aaron, you criticize the Packers all the time. Yeah, I criticize what I see on the field. I criticize things that I see. But I can't, like, what determination can I make about a guy I haven't seen play football in a year?
Well, Mike McCarthy thinks he can still play in the NFL.
Well, he said as much, yes.
But well, is he worth $2 million?
Are they that concerned about their financial picture for next year that they're cutting him because they don't want to pay him the remaining money on the $2.5 million base salary, you think?
I don't think, but I got lots of commenters who would agree with that.
Here was my point with Homer, and I went back to 2002, which I'm sure you guys remember. Mm-hmm. On the offensive line, two games into the season, Mark Tauscher blows out his knee.
Right. In New Orleans.
Who starts at right tackle from then on?
I don't even remember.
Earl Dotson.
Dotson right? started at right tackle? Yeah, yeah, you're, yep, right, you're yep. right. You're right. You're
Number
right.
Number 72.
Okay. And then in what? Game 8, 9, 10,
right,
something
right,
like
right,
that.
Right, right.
Clifton gets cheap shotted by Sapp.
Right.
They lose their left tackle.
Right.
What happens then? They move Mike Flanagan out to left tackle.
Right.
And who's their center?
Don't remember.
Frank Winters.
Frank
Old Bagadonis.
Bagadonis himself.
So my point was that here are two veterans that under the current regime probably wouldn't still be on the team to make those replacements if there were to be injuries. Now, your point, which I think was a salient one, I didn't criticize your point. I just gave you a hard time for that.
Splitting the hairs.
My point is that he's, regardless of what you think of how he, whether or not you think he can play based on what Mike McCarthy says or what Charles Woodson tells me or whomever else, because none of us have seen him play, I can't fathom that a guy with his experience is not worth having on your team as that kind of an insurance policy if you believe yourself to be a Super Bowl contender. And you made the comment, I went back and looked at my Twitter after I asked McCarthy that question about being a Super Bowl contender and being in the present.
Right.
And that was my issue with this move, is that you can build for the future and look at – Sam Shields is going to be a very good football player. I don't have any question about that. But I would really like to have Al Harris on this team if in 3 weeks my top cornerback in Tremont Williams gets hurt on a punt return or Sam Shields gets hurt on a kickoff return. And they're both in positions that increase their risk. I'm not saying either one's going to get hurt doing returns, but there's that possibility.
Right, sure.
And I don't see why – Al Harris isn't worth that as an insurance policy. Maybe, and I don't know the whole story. I had one player text me and say, if you knew the whole story, you wouldn't be saying what you're saying. So there's more to the story than that.
Well, yeah.
But
and Domofsky was on the radio today saying the stuff about how they were possibly worried about him not accepting a backup role or accepting a dime role or, you know, things of that nature. I don't know Al Harris, you know? I've spoken to his agent. I've never spoken to the man himself. You know,
I really like him, and Rob really doesn't. So that's that may explain our stances slightly.
Yeah, a little bit. But so, okay, I completely understand what you're saying there as far as the veteran insurance. How'd that team do? How'd that team do in 2002?
They went into New York with a chance to be the number one overall seed in the NFC.
They did indeed. And then what happened?
And their injuries finally caught up with them. They didn't have Ferguson at the end of the season after he'd been decapitated by Donovan Darius.
I love that you just used Robert Ferguson to support a point. I'm sorry. I'm just going to say that.
He was a starting wide receiver.
He was. A not very good one, but he
unfortunately.
Was a starting
but
wide receiver.
That was what they had.
I know.
They didn't have Sharper at the end of the season.
Right.
So they lose in New York. They lose a first-round bye, which would have helped them given their health situation.
Absolutely.
And then they lose in the first round with Josh Bidwell getting punts blocked and Michael Vick going crazy.
Yeah, Michael Vick going very crazy. And Mike Sherman not challenging a muff punt. I'll never forget that. Drove me insane. But so, yes. Veteran
My point
insurance,
is that
I totally get it.
That was a good team that, again, this team has been through similar injury problems, but that was a good team that Mike Sherman, who may have been favoring veterans to a fault the other direction, kept those guys around, and that paid off.
Right.
And my point was that Al Harris could be one of those guys. I will say this. Judd has a source in Minnesota that says that there's been contact from the Vikings.
Oh, I have no doubt. I have no doubt. You know what? I have no doubt there was contact from the Vikings before everything came out.
Oh, no. They wouldn't tamper,
with a Packer? No. Never. Never. No, but it was like, you know, what I posted about it when Al said... I think there's another team in the division. I think it was to Spoon that he said it, but I probably can't say who or which one. I mean, come on, you know he's been. Well, you know they've heard from people.
He's also a Favre guy. Now, not that he disliked Rodgers. I thought his quote in my story about how he thinks Rodgers is going to be a Hall of Famer was interesting, but he did. I mean, we saw him in the games against Favre last year. He was one of the guys that made sure he went and talked to him and whatever.
Yeah.
So
big
I wouldn't be surprised if general manager Brett Favre has got the got the Al Harris phone dialed up.
Without question. All right, let's put our beef aside since we got you here, Mr. ESPN Milwaukee.
I don't recall there being a beef. There may be a beef for you. I thought the fact that we're reading your blog on our show, I thought that was, you know,
okay,
a good thing.
Well, it is a good
it's a great thing.
We love it.
It's a beautiful thing.
We love it.
Thrown in at the last second over some Dave Brubeck. But
I don't have any control over that.
What I love about the quote-unquote reading of our blog is the fact that, like, you tear ass through the actual post to get to your point. It's like Aaron writes... The other thing.
Yeah.
I'm saying this, that, and the other thing. Like,
I've got a producer in my ear telling me we're running out of time. Take your beef to Bill Johnson, who doesn't play skeptic or believer fast.
Oh, tell me about it. Oh my God. Oh, which I love, by the way. Skeptic. I'm. You guys joke about it like sweeping the internet. Love that segment. Love it.
Thank you.
It's fantastic.
Stole it from SportsCenter.
Of course you did. But there's nothing wrong with that. You're under the ESPN umbrella.
I didn't mean to sidetrack us.
Yeah, you
What
did.
Do you want to talk?
It's all right. So, all right, heading into the bye week. Mike McCarthy talking about from two pages to one page on the injury report. Injuries. I had a very small mini rant about Ryan Pickett earlier. How ridiculous was it that they even played Ryan Pickett in that game?
I totally agree. I asked that question when he was active before he even got hurt. I thought that struck me as a really bad idea, and then he got hurt. I understand McCarthy having said, look, we're not going to rest anybody. We're not going to save anybody. We're playing this game to win. But that's a guy that's obviously had problems with that. What did he originally hurt it in Washington,
right.
Missed the Miami game,
yep.
Comes back against Minnesota, hurts it seven snaps in,
yep.
Misses the Jets game, comes back, gets hurt early in this. Yeah, I would have sat him through the bye week.
And here's
but
the thing.
Mike
like,
chose not to do that.
And I said before, you just shut down the Jets' running game without him. One of the best rushing attacks in the league. And now you're facing a team who hasn't been able to run the ball all year? And
play
you
Howard play Green.
Our buddy.
There you go.
Just talked to him.
Yeah. I heard him.
Good guy.
I caught the end of him.
That's very good. So, 6-3, heading into the bye week. What are your thoughts for the rest of the year? The second half of the season, what lays in store? How do you see the season laying out?
Well, I think they've got a tougher road than maybe some people, not you guys, but some people might realize. I mean, you know, they go to New England, they go to Atlanta, they go to Minnesota. I think Minnesota's in a position after winning that one on Sunday to go on a mini run here, and the Packers will have to win in the Twin Cities to kind of squelch that. But I think they're going to beat the Bears, and I think they're going to potentially put it together in spite of all their dysfunction and despite their coach. They make me nervous. I think they've got a ton of talent, and once they get Sidney Rice back, I think they've got the makings of being a really good offense again. I mean, they have Adrian Peterson. I mean, we spent so much time talking about Favre. I was scrubbing the kitchen floor while Paula and Maddie were watching Brett Favre cheering against him in the living room. So many Packer fans dislike Favre for so many different reasons. Paula is just so bitter because he ruined every offseason since we started dating. So she like cheered. She doesn't watch football ever, but she watches that. So anyway, I only have half an eye on the game, and to see, you know, you lose sight of the fact because we're so focused on Favre, just right. How good Peterson is and how misused he is by that team, and he still is leading the
dominant
league in rushing.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So I just think that they've got a lot of pieces that, despite their dysfunction and despite their start, they're a scary team. But you know, I didn't think the Packers were going to go into New York and win. They obviously did that. So they could go into New England and win. They certainly can win in Atlanta. You know, I think what Aaron Rodgers always talks about is about controlling your destiny. And they have their destiny now. If they continue to play well, they've got that opportunity. But they have to play a lot like they did against the Cowboys, and they're going to have to do it against teams that are better than the Cowboys.
Absolutely. The one thing I'd say about the Vikings, it's, you know, the vibe now is like, oh, they could get hot. They could go on a run. Everyone was saying this exact same thing 2 weeks ago.
Yep.
You know, when we had Chip Scoggins on.
Yeah.
He and the guys over at the
Chip Scoggins was wrong, by the way. Wrong.
They were saying like, oh, it all, you know, now they're getting there. Now they're going to go on a tear and they're going to win the NFC North. Well, then they came into Lambeau. They lost. Everything started falling apart.
Came into Lambeau, you know? They came into Lambeau, and if Percy Harvin gets his other foot down, maybe they don't lose.
If
Chad Clifton doesn't blocks his guy in the Redskins game, we win that game.
No, you're right. You're right. But
so I'm just saying. I understand.
They weren't that far off, and then they end up with this dysfunctional situation with Moss that kind of could potentially derail their season.
Right.
I'm just saying that they're closer to being a good team that I think a lot of people give them credit for.
Holly wants to know if you're going to have a bet with Greg Bedard for the Patriots game.
A bet?
Yeah.
Yeah, a gentleman's like bet. You know.
Well, we'll take that as a no.
We'll take that as a no. It's fine.
I'm just looking forward to seeing Greg.
There you go.
There you go.
There you go. All right.
Jason Wilde.
Jason Wilde. Always welcome.
Always welcome at Cheesehead TV.
Always.
Now, was I like, we didn't have a guest, so you sent me that email earlier today, or what was
it? No,
no, you're always invited.
You're always invited.
I keep meaning, you're on the list now for all our live blogs for the show.
Okay. Am I the only one who just tunes in just to tune in?
Well, you're not the only one.
Well, I hope not, or else this is... why the hell are we doing this?
Among the media. I meant among the media corps.
Yeah, probably.
I don't know. You know what? I know you're not as far as like national media, the Packers media probably.
Okay.
But I know because I've had other members of the national media talk to me about the show and I've been like, "Why on earth are you watching the show?" But
I'm because they read about it in the New York Times.
Probably.
There you go.
I will say this. I am anxiously awaiting Tom Silverstein's appearance on
Come
the show.
Come on.
There
now.
You go.
That's going to happen
one day.
It will
okay,
happen.
Let me know. I will be quietly watching the entire program.
Gonna make it happen, Wilde. Don't you worry.
All right. Good luck.
Hey, it can't go any worse than my attempt to get Bob McGinn on. Come on.
How, Wait a minute. I know we got to go, but what?
One day we'll get Bob.
Well, actually, not last year. Was it last year? This past summer when we were revving up again. I sent an email to Bob McGinn. I asked him to come on the show, and he couldn't have been lovelier. He was like, "I would love to be on the show. I work very hard at my job, and when I'm not working at my job, I like to spend time with my family, pursue my interests. I don't want to be talking about the Packers." And I was like, "Cool, that's great." But someday, Wildy, someday, it'll happen.
Oh, that okay.
No, come on. Say what you're going to say.
Oh, not a chance.
All right.
Okay. Jason Wildy. Always a pleasure.
Always.
Always great to have you. Thank you so much, sir. We'll see you around the blog, and we'll catch your next appearance on Green and Gold today.
And Green and Gold and Purple today.
Yes.
And Powder Blue and Red.
Yes. Now that Moss is in Tennessee. Thanks, Jason. Have a great night.
Yep, you too.
Ladies and gentlemen, Jason Wildy taking us over time.
Way over time.
Hey, but
it's worth it.
But come on now. Last week we were under time, so this week we're giving you a little extra. Nothing wrong with that. That's how we do it. Now I feel like we have to play Dave Brubeck because we're wrapping up. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us. A big, big, humongous, ginormous thank yous to, obviously to Howard Green, as well as Michael Davidson of Green Bay Packer Nation for joining us on the live blog. Speaking of the live blog, thanks as always to Brian Caribou, Alex Talish, along with Holly Phelps, Jamie Jors, and the rest of the crew. You guys really helped make this a unique fan experience you cannot find anywhere else on the internet. Thank you so much for joining us. Ladies and gentlemen, have a great night.